All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll, and it's Wednesday the 13th of February, 2019 already. It's flying by. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and as usual, everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z, krazfiles.com. You can get lots of great, interesting, and unique material up on that website. It's grassroots, real alternative media in this country. I run at home by myself, so I'm very proud of what I'm doing. And look, there's a lot of great articles going up, and unique articles which will be under the section Kraz Files Originals. Those are very special articles that come to me personally, so please read those and comment, share them around. Great videos going up, podcasts, you can get it on iTunes, over at social media, Facebook, Twitter, real.video, YouTube. YouTube channel, lots of ways to get it, and so lots to have a look at on the website. Lots of interesting material I'm trying to post daily, and talking to a lot of great and interesting people like Alona Lahn. Again, she is with me tonight for a chat. Alona, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Adam. Yeah, thank you for having me on again.
You've been kind of meandering around in the belly of the beast lately.
jumped into the jaws of the shark.
You have, and well, I know our constant followers have listened to all our podcasts and listened to our chats. They're all up on the website anyway, but recently you've done some pretty incredible media interviews in regards to health freedoms in Australia and this mad push to vaccinate everybody and all our children. We've discussed this a lot. We're pro-choice. We're for people and families out there who don't want to be bullied and intimidated into injecting drugs into themselves or their children. And we're looking at a very unjust and unfair system, corrupt, I would say rotten from the core up. There's a lot to discuss always, but you've been kind of worming your way into the mainstream media, mainstream talk show radio. You're on Sydney Radio tomorrow morning. We'll talk a bit about that. And you were on radio in Queensland just the other day. I listened to that. You did very well. Talk about that a little bit, what it was, and I had to listen to the whole thing. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, very interesting
callers. I don't know, very, very strange to me. I don't really particularly like much of these shows. I don't really listen to them, but they are mainstream. They pull a lot of weight because most of the Australian public plug into them. And we here in the alternative media, we've just got to do our best and keep plugging away and get our material out. And I think we're doing that because we're getting a lot of attention from the big hitters, some of them in the mainstream media. They're wanting to know what's going on and wanting to interview people like yourself and find out the root cause of why we're anti-vaxxers. I feel like they're kind of trying to find out why we're mentally ill or something. It's very strange. They're sort of looking at, you know, we better talk to these kind of mentally ill patients, but we don't want to be too harsh with them. We'll just find out why they're thinking the way that they are. They're very strange anyway. You've been doing these incredible interviews anyway, and I think that's great. And I think from what I heard, you've been handling yourself extremely well with a lot of confidence. You know that these people can be very low, that they can come in and try and stab you in all different directions from behind, from the front, from wherever. And you've handled yourself very well, and you've got your answers and questions ready. And I felt that you did an excellent job. So congratulations on that, and congratulations on you know, having your voice heard, and I think a lot of people appreciate that who don't have a voice, especially parents out there, you know, who you're fighting for and we're fighting for, who are looking after seriously ill children who have been injured by vaccinations. This is ignored by the media in most part, and also our so-called health health politicians and all of these people like Greg Hunt. They just completely ignore that vaccines can cause harm, a lot of harm, and they don't come without risk. They're not safe, like they say. And so how was this for you, these experiences? Pretty incredible.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. So I actually did a interview with the Courier Mail firstly, And that was really interesting because she kind of caught me on the hop. But the interview was I thought I did really well. And then the article got published on the Saturday. Yeah, so on the Saturday. So we had a few emails back and forward. I asked her to email me the paragraphs that she was going to put into the article. I emailed back editing the comments because I said to her they were weak and that that is not how I would have said it. So I edited that. What I found interesting, when the article was actually published, it was actually totally different from what I had said, what she had said. And I actually got about probably about one-fifth of the article. Like, the whole article was obviously pro-vaccination babble, you know, and basically selling the meningococcal vaccine to the public. So I found that really interesting. And I was a little bit disappointed in that because that's predominantly the case, is we never get fully heard and they pick out small portions of what we say, so you never really get a voice. So we're not getting, you know, two sides of the story fairly. I was contacted by Channel 9 in Brisbane, and so I actually did the interview that day. I fully recorded the whole thing. I spoke for about 20 minutes in reality. Again, that night on Channel 9, it was a two-minute news segment. Out of that 2 minutes, I had 10 seconds of, and that was actually literally two sentences out of the whole 20 minutes that I'd given them. And the 2 minutes of the news thing was predominantly an advert for the meningococcal vaccine to encourage teenagers to get vaccinated. So I was a little bit disappointed about that. But as we know, the mainstream media, they won't give us equal footing. They won't let the other side be heard. And so for me, there was a little bit of frustration. So when I got the email from Brisbane Hits 105 and actually discovered that it was a live radio show, which I actually did on Monday morning, I went, wow, okay, this is a bit interesting. So we emailed back and forward and she sort of said, oh, look, we'll set up a safe space. There'll be, you know, no hassling, but just so you know, a couple of the presenters are pro-vaccine. And, yeah, so I decided to actually go into the studio so that I could have an experience. And, I've not done radio in a studio. So, it was really good to have that experience to see how it operates, what they do. And what I found, it was a very interesting show, as you know, Adam, because they had callers. So, I was introduced. I got to have a little bit of a say. Next minute we had a caller. I think we had four callers or five in total, one which was pro-choice. Yeah, and there was a variety of callers. What I did laugh at is I'd done a post just prior to going on air saying that I could predict that there would be a doctor and that there would be someone that's either died or been damaged by a supposed vaccine-preventable disease. And what do you know? There was. It was the dodgiest doctor in history, wasn't it, Adam?
That's interesting. You're talking about your interview the other day, of course, and I listened through that, and a man rang up who claimed to be a medical student, I would say, that he was studying to be a doctor. So from what I could tell, he actually wasn't a doctor, a qualified doctor as of yet. He mentioned something about studying to be a doctor. On the show, he didn't say he was actually a doctor. So you know, when he was trying to corner you with are you a doctor, because that's what they do, and he wouldn't answer your questions, you should have asked him, well, are you? And you should have also asked him what medical school is he studying at and what year is he at, and asked him a few questions, because it sounded a little suspicious to me, just personally. a little bit weird. And he was very aggressive.
He was very, very
aggressive. These are these callers that called in. And I just found that a little bit funny. So, I think that's when I messaged you the other day, I think that on these shows you just need to give out a quick medical disclaimer that you're not a doctor.
Yes.
And people who are looking for medical advice on vaccines or whatever should consult their medical professionals without delay, that you're just looking at apparent contradictions within the system and you're studying this and you have every right to do so. I mean, it's really incredible. I mean, when you look at products, and vaccines are a product, that's what they are. you're encouraged by so many groups and consumer watchdogs and the government. When you're going to buy any kind of product, you're always encouraged to look into it and do your research before you buy anything. I mean, it's just common knowledge. I mean, a lot of companies out there go very heavily off Google reviews. If someone gives them a bad review on Google, it's very upsetting for those businesses, and they try and do something about it as best they can. But whenever you're going to buy something, whatever it is, you're encouraged everywhere to look into that and do research. I can go into any supermarket or anywhere and pick up products and get the manager in and ask them what this is. I can make phone calls. You know, you got the consumer watchdog groups, you got Choice Magazine always looking at these dodgy products and everything. But when it comes to vaccinating your children, you're just not allowed to question anything. And if you're not a doctor, well, you just have to do what they tell you to do. You aren't allowed as a citizen, as a taxpaying citizen in this country of Australia, to do your own research on vaccines or medical related issues, which is dumbfounding to me. I mean, and so this is what they do. They don't want to participate in any debate with anybody like yourself, and they just want to try and push you in a corner. Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor? You're not a doctor, so you don't have. That's it. Interview over. You know, we don't have to listen to you. And this is insane. It really is to me. And I think that he just made a fool of himself, and he wouldn't answer some simple questions, and that's why you did very well. You asked him to simply name 10 ingredients. I think you went too far. I think you should have asked him to name 3 ingredients in 2 vaccines.
I think he would have been able to do that anyway.
You asked for 10, and he tried to get out of it, and he got all aggressive, and they hung up on him. But, you know, you would think that if he's saying that he's a doctor, you would think that a doctor would be able to easily come up on air and say, you know, talk about the ingredients that go into childhood vaccines. Yeah. It's like anybody who runs a business. You know, if someone's sitting out on a car lot selling cars, they're going to know about the cars. Anyone who sells anything needs to know about what they're selling. So in fact, it seems to me that he was claiming to be a medical student, but he didn't know anything about the products that he was selling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he, I don't know, look, as we discussed, I don't think he actually was a doctor, but he was sort of claiming out that he was and that he had some form of authority. Interestingly, though, that is the authority that is shown in a lot of doctor surgeries. And with the people that I've spoken to, I mean, that's what they encounter, that aggression.
Yeah,
that,
sit down and shut up.
Yeah, that really, somebody did call it a name, but basically, I guess, where because they think they're educated, then therefore they have a higher authority.
They don't like being questioned.
Yeah, his approach was, out of order and out of line. And I'm more than happy to talk to doctors, but I'm not prepared to, you know, be belittled. Always happy to have a discussion. So
I think as well, what you could do is, one thing you could do is just ask them to simply prove on air that vaccines are safe, effective, and come without any risks. No risk. Like Jill Hennessy, former Health Minister of Victoria, says, and Greg Hunt always seemed to imply, that there's just no risks in vaccinating when that's... That's so far from the truth. These are drugs. They can be dangerous and life and potentially life-threatening. We've seen that recently, in many cases. People have died after getting them. Was it Cameron Day? Was that his name in Sydney, the Sydney man?
Oh, the young fellow with the flu shot.
I'll have a look if his name's Cameron Day, yes. Yeah, 39-year-old man in perfect health, got a flu shot and I think a pertussis shot and was declared brain dead 2 days later. He got incredibly sick, and his family's come out about that. And there you go. They're not safe. These people need to say on air, hey, you know, show us proof. Put the burden of proof in their hands, and show us the proof right now that they're safe.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's so not happening. And like you said, with the review thing, that would be really interesting. But Adam, as you know, when we do pose questions in groups and online, it's very clear people have had issues with vaccination. I just got told, and I'm going to do an interview over the next couple of weeks with a lady up here. Her son, 3 hours after vaccination, went limp and lifeless. She went into the emergency department. 20 doctors come forward. They had their heads down. They wouldn't talk to her. She was saying that the kids just had, or the babies just had scenes. And at the end, they actually said that it's likely he's going to die. So she had to call in her family, and they all travelled and they come because they thought he wasn't going to make it. And at the end of it, when he did finally pull through, on the on his medical records, it had no mention of vaccination, no mention. It was literally 3 hours after vaccination. He was limp and lifeless. And she said never, like she was just so totally scared. And, of course, now she's not going to vaccinate. Well, rightly so. But what concerns me is that there is no truth and transparency. So the people aren't knowing the truth. So, and the fact that we are shut down in the media and we can't actually have a voice, well, you know, people aren't getting the real story. They're not getting the other side of the story. So, yeah, there's lots of issues, as you know. But I was really grateful for the radio interview. I learned a lot and I did have that real-life radio experience, which I was grateful for. Yeah, and the other callers, you know, there was one very supportive of being pro-choice. She was very, yeah, that lady was really good. And then there was that lady that asked me what would happen if my child got meningitis or something like that or a deadly disease. And, you know, again, the fear is so strong within the community because that's what the media have made out, that we're all falling over and dying of these diseases and that we've got to be scared of everything. I mean, most people have naturally occurring meningococcal viruses or bacteria in their bodies. So it's only when the immune system becomes compromised that that gets a hold of your body and you become, you know, extremely sick. You know, this woman, I just, yeah. So that was an interesting swing on a question, you know, what would I do if my child got sick? Well, I, you know, she may get sick at some given time, but we've never been to a doctor. She's nearly six and we've never been to a doctor. You know, good food, healthy lifestyle, swimming, sunshine. I mean, you know, that's what's going to give you good health, not a disease in a bottle being injected.
That's right. And I want to talk about that caller, actually, and I'll just go over this for a second. From what I was saying before, I apologize there. It was actually Lindsay Day who died. He's a 39-year-old man from Glenmore Park in Sydney's West. He was perfectly healthy and fit, and he received a whooping cough vaccine and a flu shot. That was, and I've actually met people lately, Alona, who are going to see families, newborns and things like that, and they've been asked to get a whooping cough vaccine. So this is what he did for his stepdaughter's baby. The relative said that, so he got those, and it's saying here that he got terrible flu-like symptoms, and his condition deteriorated rapidly over 24 to 48 hours, and his girlfriend there, his partner, was saying he was so sick, and he had seizures and stopped breathing, and the ambulance came and paramedics rushed Mr. Day to Nepean Hospital, but he never regained consciousness and was declared brain dead the next day. Brain dead after getting vaccinated. So there you go. they're not safe. But in regards to the call you were talking about, it's very interesting because these callers I don't know who they really are, but they'll ring up, like you said, and they'll start talking about meningococcal disease, and they'll start talking about dead babies and babies who are suffering, rolling around on the floor and all this stuff, and that you're to blame because you're an anti-vaxxer, and how do you feel about that? But again, the burden of proof must be put on their shoulders, because what are they talking about? You can't just get up on national radio and start crapping on about all this stuff, that babies are dying everywhere and all these babies have got meningococcal and it's your fault because you're an anti-vaxxer. They need to supply proof of who they're talking about. We want to see documents of what babies they're talking about, what they had. You know, the reports of that proves they had meningococcal or whatever it is and what hospital they were in. We want to see the absolute proof of this. Anyone can just get up there and start crapping on about that, but I think that's their way to put you off, make you kind of feel guilty and put, as you said, put the fear in you. It's all about fear, and this is what the media have done so well. They've made everybody scared. I can't tell you how many reports have come out of the mainstream News Corp Murdoch papers, and they're saying that one child, maybe one child in a mall somewhere had measles. But you read the article, it's 98% propaganda, and there's no mention of who the child was. There's no reports as to what the child really had, no toxicology reports, because without toxicology reports, the virus theory can't stand. We need to know what's going on here. You can't just get up in the media and say this. And I think that's what these people are doing. They're going to ring up and they're going to start talking about dying babies and dead children who are suffering, and they're going to try and put you off and make you panic and kind of push you out of the interview. So this is a really silly thing to me, and I think that what she was saying can't stand. And also, Alona, there was a—I don't know if it was the same lady. She was trying to say that her siblings were vaccinated and they're super healthy now, but she was unvaccinated as a child, and now she's an adult. She's really sick, This doesn't make any sense because, you know, if you're vaccinated as a child and you didn't get any vaccines again, we don't know if she's been vaccinated. She's saying that she's not vaccinated, but how many years do vaccines protect you for, if any? And so she's trying to sort of say that because she wasn't vaccinated, she's sick now. But so what she's saying, that if she was vaccinated, then she would just be bulletproof against any health conditions. I mean, we don't know where this woman lives. We don't know if she drinks, if she smokes, what her health is like, what drugs or antibiotics she's on. We don't know anything about her life. And here she is ringing into a national radio show to talk to you, saying that she wasn't vaccinated as a kid, and that she's going to blame that on her ill health now in adulthood. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's fantasy.
Well, that was a really interesting caller, and you are right. The callers were all vastly different, and of course they had to have one pro-choicer in there, so they did that. It was interesting because they did throw some curveballs in there as I was being interviewed. And the last woman, well, firstly, the woman that was talking about the meningococcal and how would I feel if my baby got it? Well, you know, that whole line of questioning, I guess, was to make me unhinged. They were trying to instill fear into me and get scared. So there was a definite dig or angle to try and unhinge me. And then the last lady she said all her family were unvaccinated and they had all the diseases. She reeled them all off, including the flu. And she said, and she was blaming that on being sick now. And her vaccinated siblings or, you know, cousins didn't. And she really went on and on about that, and I found that really interesting because, again, it was so far-fetched. I don't know of any family that's had that many diseases or that they've actually been seriously sick and for the rest of their life. I mean, that would be the first time I've ever heard that. So that was really, really interesting because it was, I don't know, it was like a setup. I sat there in the, like at the radio station going, wow, what is going on here? And so, yeah, it was really interesting. So I had to shift my line of answer because I don't want to insult people. Like, so there had to be a real, I had to be really gentle, I guess, on how I was actually answering that one, which was interesting. Yeah, it was all just a learning curve, Adam, but I do find it really interesting that they were so vast. They tried to do the doctor, which is a faith doctor. That didn't work. But essentially, yeah, they were trying to find an angle to unhinge me. And even Abby herself, before the interview started, she was all friendly and chatty. She did say that she was pro-vax. And then as soon as the interview started, she sort of did this flip and, you know, and then wanted to nail me on the whooping cough vaccine. And anyway, she didn't win because I said, well, you know, we don't have the lowest rate of whooping cough. We actually have a high rate of whooping cough. So, yeah, it was really interesting, just the whole psychological play of the interview.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, they keep going on about the whooping cough vaccine. They keep implying that unvaccinated children, unvaccinated people are a threat to the public. It keeps going on that. They keep saying this, and it's happened again just recently. An article I put up from Triple M in the morning with the Moon Man. We'll talk about that a little bit before we go, but he's basically sort of saying, you know, oh, these people are a threat to our vaccinated kids in school and all of this stuff. So again, you're getting this line of unvaccinated children are a threat to vaccinated children. And I don't even think these people know what they're talking about, because how can that be? It doesn't make any sense. If your kids are vaccinated, then they should be protected and there wouldn't be a worry. But they keep going on about that. Do I really need to read out the CDC article again? Alona, pertussis infection in fully vaccinated children in daycare centers, Israel. It's from the CDC. The conclusions that after kids have been vaccinated with the pertussis vaccine, they can cause non-specific symptoms, and vaccinated adults and adolescents may serve as reservoirs for silent infection and become potential transmitters to unprotected infants. That's what it's saying. That's from the CDC. That these pertussis vaccines, they don't offer much protection, and you can actually transmit that to unprotected infants, even though you have no symptoms yourself. They're spreading it everywhere. But these people in the media, I doubt they know anything about vaccine science. I doubt they've done any science, study into vaccine science whatsoever. But they feel the need to get up there and shoot their mouths off a lot. I'm just wondering, in regards to some of these shows that you're being invited on, about some of these callers, if they're actually unique callers out in the public, people who are absolutely concerned and they want to know more. It just seems like a setup to me. I don't know, but you know, thank God you're doing it. You're still getting the word out and you're getting into the mainstream media. It is a game. I think it's a game. Yeah, I think you've got to play it and do the best you can. I think you're doing well. Keep going. I mean, everyone's supporting you. You're a good speaker, and I think that what you're doing well is that you're used to it. You've done a lot of interviews. You've been out there for a long time, talking all over the place, traveling around the country, and you're used to doing these interviews. So, you know, they're not going to be able to push you around or push you off. I remember an interview that Wendy Lydell did on the Morning Breakfast Show with Koshy, I think on 7 Sunrise, because I talked to Wendy. She's written a book on raising vaccine-free children. She's a great lady. And she was on there with Professor Robert Bowie. And this guy is up to his eyeballs with Big Pharmaceutical. Everywhere you look, he's connected with Big Pharma companies, you know. Elizabeth Hart has exposed him big time. And he's a pediatrician, I think, anyway. He's very sweaty. And he was up there, and she was getting over the top of them. And Koshy didn't like it, so he started with, "Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor? Well, we don't need to speak to you anymore. You can just go away. Why did you invite her on then, Koshy?" You know, I mean, she's not a doctor. She's researching this, and she's entitled to do so. But he knew he was losing the debate, that she was getting over the top of them. And then he started with, "Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor?" So that's what they do. They're very weak at the knees for me. Very weak at the knees, Alona. But you hold yourself very well, and you hold your ground, and you know your stuff. And I say keep going. You're doing really well. Great job.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Look, I'm hoping for more interviews. I think the more we can speak out. I actually with the interview tomorrow, I actually asked around to see if others would like to do the interview. I think it would be really good for others to also speak out, because the more people that speak out, of course, the more, not one person is targeted, but also then it's not coming from the same person all the time. You know, the problem that because of the fear and the intimidation and the coercion that the government have instilled and the people, I mean, you know, and they've done such a good job at keeping people out, well, afraid to speak out. So it's actually disgusting what's going on. I think, you know, in the future, people are going to look back at this time and go, wow, that was criminal, you know, and the way that we treated people that were merely choosing their own body autonomy and rejecting, you know, vaccines. Well, I think it's disgusting that this behaviour has been allowed to happen. But more people can speak out, then obviously the more we can send out a message and at least get some further studies done. Let's have a look at the long-term safety of the full vaccination schedule, which hasn't been done. Let's look at the mutating of diseases and the spreading and the shedding, you know, like where is this going to leave us in the future? My biggest concern with vaccination is, you know, the mixing of disease and the not knowing how that's going to respond in a person's body and whether it does or doesn't mutate. You know, I was just talking to someone tonight. A flu vaccine is a recombinant vaccine, as in they pick this strain, they pick this strain, and then they create this strain. So effectively, they're mutating stuff. And I'm seriously concerned about that. All this information has to get out to the public so that then they can make an informed decision and decide whether this is worth it. You know, I think in the future, you know, a pandemic of some disease will possibly happen, but it won't be from natural disease. It will be from a man-made created disease, and that's what really concerns me.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and I put up a recent article that's done well. Apparently, according to some new research, if I can get it here, it's countries with the highest cancer rates in the world. Australia has come in at number one.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, countries with the highest cancer rates. I've found this everywhere. I thought this was a joke, but I looked it up. It absolutely is. Australia, number one in the world for cancer rates. Cancer diagnosis rate is 468 new cases per 100,000 residents. And this was put up by Peter Little. Thanks, Peter. I got that. And he's saying this is a big gold medal for our health minister, Greg Hunt.
Yeah.
Good on you, Greg. He says here, you're presiding over the globe's sickest people. But we're all getting our vaccines and we've got the worst cancer rates in the world. Why is that happening in Australia, full of sunshine, with such a low population, full of the ocean and beautiful forests? I mean, we have a great country here. It doesn't make sense to me why we would all have the highest cancer rate in the world. Everyone's doing what you're saying, Greg. All the parents are submitting to you, Mr. God of the pharmaceutical industry. Everyone's going down on their bended knees because you're pushing them. You're intimidating them and the media's bullying them into vaccinating their kids or they're going to strip their benefits. Everybody's vaccinating, Greg, but we've got the most cancer in the world. How does he explain this? You're not going to see this in our media either. It's complete crickets over here. We're not hearing that we've got the worst cancer rates in the world. No one knows about this. It's astonishing.
But we can give Australia another medal. They've also got the highest allergy rate in the world.
Food allergies, yes. Yes, Victoria does. Yeah, it's not just the highest. It's absurd. It's so high. Yes, I went through that on a podcast. It's unbelievable. It's out of the ballpark.
Yeah, right. I'll have to listen to that podcast because allergies is my thing because, you know, as we know, the syntocinone injection for me with the oxytocin, and the oxytocin is created in casimino acid, which is casein bovine, which is milk proteins. I was given that shot after the birth of my daughter, and 8 months later I'm sitting in the bottom of my shower unable to breathe, praying to God because I thought I was going to die from anaphylaxis. Now, I have anaphylaxis to dairy. So, you know, allergies are out of control. And the fact that the government and nobody knows what's causing them should send alarm bells, and we should be questioning the vaccination schedule, which is never-endingly increasing. So, yeah, the fact that they're not even open to looking at the possibility of vaccinations being, you know, creating allergies is just sickening. You know, how can they not create allergies? And given my experience, I would guarantee vaccines are causing allergies without a doubt.
There's so many children with anaphylaxis and allergies everywhere, and everyone that I've looked at, they're all vaccinated. It's kind of overwhelming. They're allergic to something. I do hear that peanut oil is used in vaccines as a preservative. There's many articles on that as well. You know, so these are complications indeed, but there's so many children with food allergies. It's remarkable. Because my little one was unvaccinated, I felt totally at ease, totally comfortable at about 8 months to give her a spoon of peanut butter, raw honey, all these kinds of things, not a problem. And I know a lot of families with unvaccinated children. They're all in complete health. They're never sick. They're not like these walking zombies, like we hear the media talking about. They're all in very good health, and they don't have any allergies as far as I can tell. We do go into things like ultrasound, and we do go into antibiotic and over antibiotic use and drug use and all this sort of stuff. There's a lot of complications here, not just vaccines. It's all part of the vicious circle, indeed. But I am seeing personally, and I'm just a fly on the wall here. I'm not saying this, because I'm doing this with you. I honestly mean it. I'm seeing a hell of a lot of allergies among kids, severe peanut allergies, to the point where I've spoken to parents where they can't even be near peanuts. Even sniffing them can make them sick. Some of it on their skin can send them to the hospital. This is extreme stuff. Indeed. And no one's really looking at the elephant in the room. Their kids are sick, Alona, and they're not saying, well, my child became sick after they went to the doctor's surgery and got jabbed with needles containing unknown substances. You know, what went into my child? I mean, 2 and 2 equals... it's like this vaccine industry and medical industry tries to, always portray itself as this clean, vibrant bill of health industry where there just couldn't possibly be them. Don't look at them. It wasn't them. It's something else.
Well, the problem with it is, in the future, they will be saying that, like, oh, well, it wasn't us. Oh, well, it's the fault of this. I mean, the blame game is just going to shift, isn't it? And because at some given time, the truth will be revealed and has to be revealed for the health and safety of our children. And the problem with it is who's going to take responsibility when stuff does come out? No one. Everyone's just going to pass the buck. It's disgusting. Right. And then all these families are left with these injured children, and because allergies can be severe. I've lived with allergies. It's like hell, you know. I live in a house with no carpet for that very reason and no curtains because it's the allergies, you know. I don't have pets for that reason. It's a terrible way to live. And the fact that we're basically forcing that onto our children to live a life like that is criminal. I feel for all these children that are getting unnecessarily jabbed and over vaccinated. It's heartbreaking.
Compromised immune system and just not hearing it from the media about this allergy epidemic at all. If we move on a little bit here, I wanted to, before we go, just talk about this, because you're not going to hear this in the Australian media at all whatsoever, just crickets, tumbleweeds. But February the 13th, 2019, breaking, FDA sued for recommending untested, unlicensed flu vaccine for pregnant women. This was absolutely incredible. This is a press release at the request of the Children's Health Defense, headed by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., because major press release news wires in the US are refusing to publish this as a press release. So this is incredible. Washington, D.C., in response to a Freedom of Information Act, FOIA lawsuit, the FDA has admitted for the first time that government agencies, including the CDC, are recommending vaccines for pregnant women that have neither been licensed for pregnant mothers by the FDA nor tested for safety in clinical trials.
Yeah, criminal.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's great that's being questioned and exposed, because that's the truth of the matter. And I did sit in a talk with a professor from the Monash University, and they said in a live audience of 90 people that, yeah, the vaccine had not been tested on pregnant women. So we know that. I just have an article in front of me too. So in 2014, Professor Ann Kohler, Director of Communicable Disease Control Branch in South Australia, she explains that the pertussis vaccine does not work. So it could not protect a newborn baby in a cocooning program, right? So the myth around that the whooping cough vaccine is so far-fetched. And now the fact that pregnant women have been advised or are coerced and intimidated into having it is just absolutely disgusting. And Robert Kennedy Jr., let's bring it on and let's get that truth out there. And we already know that they're going to win, because there is no safety studies done on it. It's just a fact. There are no safety studies done on that vaccine.
I mean, my God, the fact that your very fact that you're injecting an untested, unsafe, unknown substance into your body would surely be enough to frighten the hell out of anybody. I mean, my God, at least get them asking questions. This is such a big news release. It's such a huge thing. It's one of the biggest things I've seen in years. The media aren't touching it here, of course. But what would we expect? They blow up a so-called measles case in some mall somewhere and offer no information in regards to that. But they'll go on the attack and attack simple families who just want to protect their own children from medical assault. But this kind of stuff that gets released from the United States, we have to get out, and we will do so. We've done that. We're pushing it everywhere as best we can. We're just got to do the best job we can. I wanted to ask you this before we go as well. I just posted this great article, an original article by Elizabeth Hart. Her website is overvaccination.net. It was about comedian Lawrence Mooney boasting about wanting to beat up an anti-vaxxer. This was on, he's called the Moon Man in the morning. I guess this is mind vomit that people listen to. I don't know. I don't listen to this stuff. It's on Triple M. I guess that's what the people listen to. I have no idea. But this stuff gets sent to me and I find it very interesting. He's got his own morning breakfast show. I guess his ego's bigger than his mouth, or his mouth is bigger than his ego. You decide. I don't know. Both a dangerous combination. But she's mentioning this transcript here, which she's done a lot of work on. It's very incredible. And they're talking about anti-vaxxers on the show, which has been really turned into a derogatory slur. And I've gone through this before, where now the media just need to print articles bullying and intimidating families for not vaccinating, and they just need to put anti-vaxxer in black in the heading, and that makes up the public's mind. These people are bad people because it says anti-vaxxer. That shows how you can control the minds of the public in a very quick way. It's amazing. Anyway, he says here, Lawrence Mooney, about banning kids from schools who are unvaccinated. He wants it. And he's going on here that my daughter Maggie got whooping cough from a kindergarten, and I just wanted to go. I wanted to go a little bit Liam Neeson on anti-vaxxers. I wanted to go and find an anti-vaxxer, and they're laughing here, and beat them. Some bastard anti-vaxxer. I wanted to beat them, and they're laughing about it. Anyone can listen to what I just said about recently vaccinated, people and children spreading pertussis, especially onto unprotected infants there. And that's from the CDC that I've put up many articles talking about how recently vaccinated children, especially in regards to pertussis vaccine, are spreading it everywhere. What do you think about this comment from this guy on Triple M Radio, Alona? This is really hateful and nasty stuff, isn't it?
Well, it's actually really threatening. And
isn't it?
Who gives anybody the right to threaten somebody that they don't know just based on something, that a choice that they've made not to inject disease and toxins which are not safe nor effective? I think it's absolutely disgusting. The guy obviously has a lot of issues. Ignorance is part of that. And, the fact that he's then promoting discrimination and segregation, division, with the no jab, no school, that's absolutely disgusting. If his child is vaccinated, which it sounds like would have been vaccinated, right? So this child would have probably been given a whooping cough vaccine at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months, right? And then again at 18 months. So we don't know how old the child was. The child's probably had three vaccines. The vaccine doesn't work, and that's why the child would have caught whooping cough. It wouldn't have been off a non-vaccine.
He's saying in the interview here that he's saying in the boast here that his children are vaccinated fully. He's very proud of that. So
exactly.
Basically he's saying that his fully vaccinated child got pertussis in daycare or school, and he's blaming unvaccinated children, and he wants to go and beat them up, but he has absolutely no proof in regards to that at all.
That's right. Think of the logics of that, Adam. So your child's vaccinated, but it still gets whooping cough. That's because the vaccine, and the Australian public don't know this, the vaccine does not stop the transmission of the disease. Okay, if the government started telling people the truth, well, then you can make fully informed decisions. But at the moment, people are being blatantly lied to, and there's misinformation and data is being omitted, and I feel for the general public, and hence we are creating this hate society with people through sheer ignorance, and it's unfortunate. But the fact that this guy is literally threatening people, so even myself on live radio, and then isn't reprimanded, is absolutely disgusting. The guy should be sued. He should actually lose his job over that, because to say that he's going to bash anyone is inappropriate, it's unethical, and it's not humane. It's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah, he's saying here that anti-vaxxers should have to wear signs around their necks basically saying, I'm an anti-vaxxer, and he's laughing here. Again, this is Lawrence Mooney. He's a comedian on Triple M radio, talkback morning breakfast stuff. Moon Man in the Morning, it's called. He's openly threatening people who choose to protect their children here from medical assault and harm because of vaccines. And in fact, you know, people like myself and you, Alona, we choose not to vaccinate because we love our children so damn much.
Yeah.
That's the point. We a lot of people love their children so much that they're so worried that their little ones are going to be harmed by these drugs, and that's what they are, that they choose to do their own research, and they might choose. We're getting a lot of higher profile people coming out in the media now. Rugby league stars just recently, the other day, not wanting to vaccinate. We're getting a lot of these people coming out now, and hopefully this continues. We get a lot more high profile people coming out and speaking up as they get access to more and better information, looking at vaccines and what they can actually do and what's in them and all this. We just want, we're not telling people not to vaccinate. We just want a fair go, and we want choice in the matter. And we're not seeing that now, but you can see on, you know, some of the biggest talkback radio in this country, which it is. This is huge. Morning breakfast radio, the biggest that you can get. We have people here threatening the public to beat them up. And that's disgraceful, because the anti-vaxxer movement, as they say, are the ones that are all terrorists, and they're evil ones. And they're all mums and dads like us who are just concerned and want a fair go here, want an open playing field. And we're not getting it. We want open discussion, we want debate, and we want choice when it comes to our health. And we're not getting a fair go. And for these guys to come up here and threaten people like this on mainstream radio is disgusting.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and there's no debate here. He's up there with his big ego and his buddy, and they're making fun of people, which really I can work these people out in about 2 seconds. He's probably a bully, and that would go back to his high school days. He likes to bully and pick on people and make fun of how people look, this is why they got them on the radio stations like this. They're just thugs, and it's really disgusting, and they're cowards.
Let's think a little bit further deeply into this. So he's asking people that are non-vaccinated to wear signs. So what does he want us to do? Be forcibly vaccinated? Like, how far is this ignoramus? You know, how far is he going to take this? I mean, he wants to bash people. He wants us to wear a sign. What else did he say, Adam? I mean, you know, the guy sounds like he's out of Nazi Germany. Is that right?
Well, Elizabeth has put the whole transcript up here of the interview on my website. It's an original article, and I'm proud to post this stuff, and I've put it around so folks can go in there and read it and have a look at exactly what he said. You know, he's just doing the whole anti-vaxxer thing. That's, you know, every time you read what he's saying, it's anti-vaxxer, 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 because as I said, the media have turned that into almost a weapon. It's such a derogatory slur for them now, and you know, these are mums and dads out there, and I feel really sorry for all the mums and dads out there who are looking after vaccine injured children, brain damaged children with such terrible horrific injuries because they were vaccinated. And these were never anti-vaxxers, they vaccinated. They went from the advice that they were given off their doctors, and they went and I know people who have vaccine injured kids, and they've got the documents to prove it. They're looking after vaccine injured kids at home, and it's not pretty. And to treat them like this and say this to people, it really shows the level of ignorance in these people is so extremely high. And the level of compassion and heart and soul is so low, you know, and that's the way that they live, I guess.
Yeah, that guy's not psychologically stable. He's obviously got issues. You know, that's unacceptable.
This is like former Health Minister Jill Hennessy, isn't it, as well, coming out on national television She had Daniel Andrews standing behind her at that time on national television. He looked like he just sat up out of a coffin, and she was saying that that was famous, quote, that there's no risks in vaccinating your children, absolutely none. That went all over the world. Mike Adams of Natural News did two videos on it. He did a video on it for about 10 minutes, and they did two articles on that. It got picked up all over the world because people were so horrified at that. This is really incredible that they can get up in such a powerful position and say this. To me, we've gone through it a number of times, I know, but it really defies belief. And in 2019, to sit here and listen to these morning shock jocks talk like this and threaten the public is really incredible. It really is.
Yeah. You know? It concerns me. It really concerns me about where we're actually heading. And the fact that the Australian public can't kind of preempt or foresee where we're actually heading. For me, it's so obvious. You know, we are heading into dangerous territory. Erosion of our rights are happening thick and fast. And I think the people need to protect freedom of choice. They need to protect their choice for the future. And it really does greatly concern me. And particularly with lunatics like that on radio stations, you know, we need to make sure that we stand up, speak out, because we can't let them get away with that level of hate and nastiness. It's not right. It's not fair.
Yeah, and I'd say to people, if you want to know more about this, go to krasfiles.com. You can have a look at Krasfiles' original articles, a lot of them written by Elizabeth Hart. She's fantastic. The comedian Lawrence Mooney wanting to bash people up who are anti-vaxxers, that's up there. That's the new one. You can get Pharma-led Chorus dominating the public narrative on vaccination, and misinformation. Who decides? Really deep articles that you need to read as well. I'm just putting up information for the public to decide. I don't make anything here. You can see on my website, I don't have any ads, any Google ads, nothing. I make not one cent. I do it all myself because I just want to get information out. That's what's important to me, getting information out to all the fence sitters and people who are looking for this, because it's unfair, and we've had such control by the mainstream media for so long, who are dictating and putting out all this propaganda and bullying people into doing what they say and what they tell you to do. And I think people need to get access to different types of information, and if the mainstream media are going to ignore it, then we're going to keep continuing forward. Because that's what we were put here to do. We're not going to stop, and we're gaining traction and every single day. And I'm really, even though a lot of this what we discuss, Alona, is negative, I still feel like it's positive. I'm still being positive in all of this. And when something's so negative, but I feel positive, I know deep down that I'm on the right path. If my intuition was telling me that this is bad or something's wrong, I would know that. But I know we're on the right path, even though we're up against it, you know, big time. And it's really horrible what these people in the mainstream media are saying and doing, and how they're treating people who simply wanted to protect their children. They love them so much. It's really a sad thing. And my heart goes out, as I said, to all those parents out there looking after vaccine-injured little ones and kids with autism. You know, all different stages of terrible autism. It must be a hard slog, and my heart goes out to them as well. We need compassion in this, and we need an open debate here, and we need to discuss this together on how we can move forward. And that's not happening, and insulting people and threatening to beat people up is just making the matter worse. And it's really showing the mainstream media, to be a really low entity, and that's in our favor. So I'll take it. Thank you very much to this man and the radio station. We'll take it. You're low. We're high. We've got heart. We've got soul. You don't. And we'll continue to move forward. Alona, we'll plug out now. What do you want to leave us on? Any final thoughts, and also information on how to contact you and your websites and social media pages and this and that?
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Look, people can contact me on, they want to email me at Alona, A-L-L-O-N-A, at Alona, A-L-L-O-N-A.com.au. So that's my website. I do have a Facebook page, Alona Fit Parent Network. I do highly recommend that everyone sign up and join the Australian Vaccination Risks Network, which is www.avn.org.au. They are our main body that represent freedom of choice around Australia and the non-vaccine community. So it's really important that we all stick together. There are support networks around Australia, so if people would like to get in contact with like-minded, shoot me off an email or send me a message by Facebook or Instagram or however you want to do it. But I think it's just really important we stay together. We need to stop the bullying. The bullying is becoming out of control. It's becoming even more intimidating. I mean, I didn't think it could get much worse, but it is. And I think that the whole agenda is not going to slow down unless we make it slow down, unless we hear voices. So the more voices we hear, the more chance we have to stop this. So that's my parting words, Adam.
I'd like to know too if how much these radio stations receive in funding via pharmaceutical interests in any way, shape or form. Just interesting. I don't know personally. I'd just like to know if there are any. Because it seems wherever you look around the ballpark, if we're looking at vaccines, a lot of people have invested interests here. It's very interesting. They're all connected in some way to big pharmaceutical companies. I'm just wondering. We know our major political parties receive massive funding, Liberal and Labor parties and all of this. That's common knowledge. So just interesting anyway. Yeah. I mean, obviously these people are told by their producers to say certain things and act a certain way because they're puppets of their networks. Otherwise, if they had their own way of thinking, they wouldn't have a job on Monday morning. So they basically do and say what they're told, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I know a couple of the journalists that I've spoken to, they've had warnings. I sent an email off to the radio station saying, I hope, you know, everything's all good because the intimidation, you know, the high orders from above is not to give airplay to people that oppose vaccination. And it's just terrible. Anyway, bring on a time where we can all just discuss openly and have an honest, open debate. Yeah.
About this, yes, indeed. And well said and well done. You're a great lady. I love speaking to you. You're so open-minded. You're a mum yourself and you're doing such a great job. You know, all I can say is just continue moving forward, which I know you will. Thank you so much for everything that you do. I know so many people appreciate it. I very much do so. Please continue. We wouldn't know what to do without you. And we'll continue to connect in for these podcasts as we move forward to cover all these news releases and events. I think the listeners enjoy it because a lot of people are working hard and they might want access to information, but they don't know where to look. It's very hard out there to find, you know, certain information. So in this way, we can give out great information of what's happening, current events. And I know those the listeners out there enjoy it. Hello to all of them. And we'll connect again soon.
Yeah, well done, Adam. Keep up the good work.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Thanks.